Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to a different kind of show than what I've normally done. My name is Jason Haynes. I am the founder and the chief executive officer of the UR Tennis Network. I used to broadcast a collegiate tennis show on Tuesday afternoon called Diversity in College Tennis. And love doing the show, and love college tennis, and want to continue on doing something similar. And so I decided to do something a little different. I decided to move to Wednesday afternoon. We're going to move the show over after Coach Chuck Creasy's American Tennis with Chuck Creasy. And we're going to try to do something that's really special here, and we're going to call it the All-American Wednesdays. Coach Creasy will come on first with his American Tennis, and then I'll follow up with the American College Experience. And what we're going to try to do is showcase American Tennis for the afternoon or for the day or for your podcast, just however you may go about getting the information, just not quite sure. But we are in the process of expanding here at the UR Tennis Network, and hopefully some of our fans have started to notice this. We're adding more shows. The latest one that we added was Infinite Tennis with Bill Patton. When that happens on Saturday morning, Bill is an excellent tennis teacher and just a great all-around guy. Our regular lineup still stands, and we're adding Lisa Dotson. Her show will start on Tuesday very soon. We're in talks with other people to get shows on the air. We realize that there is a value in this network, and that the stories that we can put out are worth listening to. And we're excited that you've decided to tune in to the UR Tennis Network. It has been a long time coming to try to get these shows on the air, and it is difficult to do. But at the same time, it's very rewarding, and we want to offer that chance for you to get as much tennis information out of the podcasting system as you can. I know that I love tennis, and I love to hear about tennis, and I know there are other people out there that are the same, and we're trying to get everyone moving in the same direction here for tennis. And we believe we've got an excellent platform to do that, and just want to thank you for tuning in. For those of you that are just dumb to the college tennis world, I want to let you know that the national championship season is underway. Some teams have already been decided, and we're going to go over those in a little bit, and some teams are just getting started. And the divisions started with the California Community College system. They put forth their state/national champion out there first, and then the junior colleges, the NJCAA with their official championships. The women were held in Tucson, and they finished. The men are now in Plano, and they're underway. And I'll give you updates on each of those. The moving backwards, the NAIA programs just started recently, yesterday, as a matter of fact. And Division III, Division II, and Division I have been underway now for about a week, and they're in their brackets. And we're going to go each division through today's show, and we don't have a guest today. We're just going to talk a little bit about college tennis, the facts that are out there, and we're going to see if we can inform you a little bit and get something going here where you realize that if you want to know about college tennis, that you just come here and listen to the American College Experience. And I realize that we can't cover it all. I wish we could. There are tons of college teams out there that need some media help and some coverage. Realize that we'll probably give preferential treatment to the better teams, and we're sorry about that, but they're the ones that are putting out the news and the information, so we'll report on them. If you have a sports information director or otherwise, then you can direct traffic over to the UR Tennis Network at Twitter, and we'll be glad to start sharing your information. So let's start. Let's go out to the California Community College system here, and the first area we'll start off with is the men's division, and I think I've got that information here, so hang on just one second. We've had a lot of interesting things happen out here in the college tennis world, lots of hirings and firings that are happening, so we're going to go over those as well today while we're here. Out in the state final, and the reason they do it a little bit different here is, just so you understand, is the California community college systems don't offer athletic scholarships. They do it a little bit different out there, and they don't consider themselves a part of the NJCAA when it comes to these national championships and such. It's really a shame. They need to drop their ego and their pride and get involved so that it strengthens college sports and quit being some oddball out there on the West Coast. There are some good tennis players that the rest of the country never gets to see because California is so selfish and all this. So really hope that they change their mind about this. But the state final was held out at Ojai. Ojai is famous for college tennis tournaments, matches, and such. It was Ojai's first year to host the California Community College Athletic Association State Men's Tennis Championship. Seemed to be there a little bit of wet spots, but Fresno City emerged with a 5-1 victory over Ventura College, and it extended its winning streak to 40 straight matches. Either that's great or that's interesting. Great in the fact that they've got this team that can win 40 straight matches against California community colleges, but horrible in the fact that they don't take their teams outside of California and see how good they are. And that's what's a problem here is, this, you know, we got to get some cross-section play here and get to strengthen. But both those teams, Ventura College and Fresno, should be out at the NJCAA Division I Championships in Plano this week. They should not be finished in Ojai, California 2 weeks ago, and that's just a sad state for those players. The women's championship was held as well, and I'll get to that in a little bit. I can't seem to find it in my news. I might have to skip it. So the second, let's just do that. The second thing we want to talk about today is the NJCAA championship on the ladies' side. It was held in Tucson, Arizona, and for the fourth straight year, the Tyler Junior College Apaches ladies captured the National Tennis Championships. It was their 17th national title. They were number one in the course of the year. I don't think that they really had any trouble with their dual matches. The last team to beat TJC at the Junior College Nationals was Lee, and that's where I was before I went into the private world, so we'll chalk that one up to us. Coach Dash Connell, who's a coach of men and women, he's out in Plano this week, just so you know. So it was a tough road this week. We were in a good position at the start of the day but did not capitalize. It came down to the doubles, and our number one doubles team stepped up. It's always fun when you can get to a national tournament and you go through the week and it comes down to that last match. Bodes well for some exciting times, some exciting points, some exciting sets, and an exciting match. If you've never been a part of one of those national championship matches, then the intensity that goes with it as a coach is quite interesting, because you're trying to maintain your cool in front of your kids, but you live and die on every point that goes out there. And in the end, for a brief period of time, win or lose, you enjoy or reflect back on the moment. And then you get ready for the next one. And the interesting thing about the last match here deciding it is you don't have to get ready for a next one. It is the last match, so you can put all your heart and soul into it. You get your teammates around you. You yell uncontrollably, and you will your way through this. They were challenged out there in the championships by ASA. ASA is an academy up in New York, and they have come on in the last few years since Lee has disappeared as the kind of the number two, number three team in the nation. TJC won the championship with 46 points, followed by ASA with 42.5. And then Collin County Community College was third with 32. Florida State College at Jacksonville was fourth at 31. And Georgia Perimeter College was fifth at 28.5. Now, some of you may say, what's with all this down to fifth and these point totals and such? And that's just an interesting aspect about the junior college tennis is they do it based on points, not on – and it's based on matches. And this way, whenever you have 24 teams enter the tournament, you have 24 places. And the first time that we did all this, I was very upset about it and didn't quite understand it. But I can see why a team that flies its team out to Tucson, Arizona, wants to know where they finish. And if they finish 11th out of 24, then they're given a pretty respectful welcome home because they finished in the top half of the nation at Nationals. And I think it's a good plan. They even do a consolation points as well. For those players that lose the first round, they created a back draw and give them a half a point. They play pro sets, but at least those players get to play while they're out there. Put forth a good effort. So for Connell, he took over legendary coach John Peterson last year. It is the second time to lead the Apache Ladies to the national title. I've been lucky, Connell modestly said. It's a combination of good recruits and good kids. It feels great to represent our school and bring home a national championship. I would say so. Anytime you can go a college season and bring home a national championship, then you have done a pretty good job. And you know, the sad part about that, and I said it earlier, is Coach Connell, he got to enjoy that for a few hours while he's out there in Arizona, and then his brain gets on moving over to Plano with his men, and so he goes out there, he flies back in, he gets up the next morning, he picks up his team, he drives them down to Plano, and they begin another national tournament. That's the joy of being a community college coach. You get double duty in regards. So, and we've had some of these community college coaches on, and they have a lot of tough times. So I'll give you the update from the men's nationals. Now, they're Wednesday into it. This is day 2 point totals, and I don't have any individual matches, but I can let you know what's going on. Collin College is in first place with 26 points. Tyler Junior College in second with 24.5. Seminole State's at third with 22.5. Scottsdale, Arizona at 22, and then Vincennes University in Indiana at 22 as well. That'll go through Thursday, and we'll have a national champion there. We'll talk a little bit more about who that national champion was next week. So now let's get into some NAIA news. NAIA, remember, these are programs that they don't award athletic scholarships per se, but they do award the kind of athletic grants or performance grants, and these allow kids to compete, and they bring in kids from all over the world to help out. So we've got Auburn-Montgomery out in and just so you understand, the NAIA championship is in Mobile, Alabama. The host, or the favorite in this, is University of Auburn-Montgomery, and they've won several titles in a row on both the men's and the women's side. They do a team format as well, and they invited, it looks like, about 32 teams out there. And unfortunately, the University of Mobile teams lost, were eliminated by 9-0 losses. They hosted the tournament, but they didn't even win a match. They won one set in all their matches. It was a tough day for Mobile. On the women's side, number one is Embry-Riddle at the tournament, and number two is Auburn-Montgomery. three being Vanguard on the women's side. On the men's side, you got number one Xavier and number two Auburn Montgomery and number three Brunel. So Auburn Montgomery carries a 9-match winning streak into the men's tournament. The women have won 12 NAIA championships. So hopefully the women have won 8 of the past 9 championships, only Fresno Pacific stopping their run in 22. And the Warhawks, the men, have been in the finals for 13 straight years, every tournament since the NAIA switched to a team format in 2000. The women, get this, are 13-8 on their season, but are 11-2 against the NAIA competition. I guess they've been playing quite a few other divisions that are out there. I think the next big thing here is we'll move into Division 1, 2, and 3. Now, these are running their team tournaments right now, and they're all over the place. I don't even think I'll have enough time to get to them all, but we'll start off with Division 3. In Division 3, they play a team tournament, and then they get down to an individual tournament, and they have had their first round and second round matches and their third round matches completed. The quarterfinals are held May 20th. And here are the teams in the men's quarterfinals. Claremont Mudscripts, Middlebury, they'll play each other. Kenyon plays Washington St. Louis. Oh, no, sorry, that's the semifinals. Whew. The semifinals. Claremont Mudscripts plays Middlebury, and Kenyon plays Washington St. Louis. The championships will be held, and we'll report on it next week, the 22nd in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So I think I'm reading that right. So pretty exciting times for the men. We'll go men Division 2. Division 2. And this is weird because I didn't report this earlier. Division 2 has crowned its champion. Division 2 has left Barry over Armstrong Atlantic 5-4 May 11th in Surprise, Arizona. They were the national championships. They defeated Concordia 5-0 in the semifinals, while Armstrong defeated West Florida 5-2. Barry is the national champion for Division II men. Division I men, Division I men, they're into the quarterfinals as well, and here's who you have left. UCLA and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt beat Illinois 4-1 in the quarters. UCLA defeated Drake 4-0. Duke plays Kentucky. Duke beat Wilmington, UMC Wilmington. The score there was 4-0. And then Kentucky beat Virginia Tech 4-1. The other quarterfinal action was Georgia beat Northwestern, and Oklahoma beat North Carolina State. They'll play each other May 16th. And then the last one over here was Pepperdine defeated LSU 4-0, and then Memphis defeated Mississippi 4-2. So Pepperdine and Memphis play May 16th. The semifinals will be held in Urbana, Illinois, home of the University of Illinois, with the final, the championship, being held May 21st. I'll be glad to bring you those results next week. Now, if we travel over to the women's side and we look at, we go down to Division III, start there first. The Division III brackets, again, they have completed first, second, third, and quarterfinal rounds. They have their semifinals set. Semifinals will be held in Kalamazoo, Michigan, with the championship held May 22nd in Kalamazoo, Michigan, for the Division III women. The semifinalists are Amherst, who defeated Skidmore 5-0, Washington St. Louis, which defeated DePaul 5-4, Claremont Munscripts defeated Pomona Pitzer 5-3, and Chicago defeated Wisconsin Whitewater 5-1. So Claremont Munscripts plays Chicago, and Amherst plays Washington St. Louis. And we'll give those results next week. Division 2, and we've got the champion for Division 2. The Division 2 national champs was Armstrong Atlantic. Armstrong Atlantic won in Surprise, Arizona on May 11th. And they defeated BYU Hawaii. The score there was 5-2. BYU Hawaii had beaten Abilene Christian in the semis and then beat Hawaii, and then Armstrong Atlantic beat Hawaii Pacific 5-2. So it was real close to being an all-Hawaii final there between BYU Hawaii and Hawaii Pacific, but Armstrong Atlantic and Coach Earnshaw, who we've had as a guest on the other show, did real well in that scenario. Now looking at Division I tennis championships. We're into the quarterfinals, first, second, third rounds done. Or we're into the round of 16. I think I've got it all mixed up. I'll get it right next time I'm back on air. Sorry about that today. So here's what we got. Let's see here. Quarterfinal action. Florida plays Duke. Florida beat Georgia Tech 4-0. Duke beat Texas Tech 4-3. Alabama plays California. Alabama beat Memphis 4-0, and then California beat Auburn 4-0. On the other half of the bracket, Texas A&M. They play Virginia. Texas A&M beat TCU 4-1, and Virginia beat Texas 4-3. In the last quarterfinal, Northwestern, who beat Baylor 4-2, plays Miami of Florida, who beat Purdue 4-0. These championships will be decided in Urbana, Illinois as well, along with the men, on May 21st. So look forward to bringing you that information next week. Now, some other things that we plan on covering here, and that's about all I've got for the tennis news as far as the tournaments go. And, you know, it's just a quick overview of what's happening out there. I know there are a lot of college coaches that are busy getting their teams ready for the next match, and some of them had to go home early, and they didn't necessarily like that. And, you know, there were some good stories, some interesting things that were happening out there. And one of the most notable things that happened to me as a fan of college tennis in the NCAA Division I men's tournament was Stanford falling in the first round to close out its season. They lost 4-2 to Louisiana State. It was the first time that the Cardinal had lost to LSU in the seven times the teams had played each other. And I bet Coach Jerry Hendrick that might be a little bit upset about that. LSU then went on to lose 4-0 to Pepperdine in the next one. Now, granted, Stanford has a lot of freshmen on their team. And they lost a lot when they lost Bradley Kahn and Ryan Thatcher. Kahn was the singles champion in 2010 and finished second in doubles in 2011. They have a lot of starters coming back. That's the good thing. But it was really hard for me. I've worked out at Stanford, and I know what's out there, to watch them lose in the first round. And I know that they're in a rebuilding process. I want to say that they've got quite a few freshmen on their team, very few sophomores, maybe a junior. Yeah, three freshmen, two sophomores, and a junior for most of the season. They amass Stanford has a 103-19 tournament record and racked up 15 national championships since 1977. But it was evidence they struggled with a young team. So we want to wish the best of luck out to Stanford and Coach John Whitlinger, who has also been a guest on the show, and just hope that they get things turned around there. On the other side, the women, USC, they seem to be doing well this year, so we'll tell you a little bit about them. It's a 22nd consecutive and 31st overall trip to the NCAA tournament. They have locked up, they're the number 5 seed, and locked up back-to-back trips to the NCAA round of 16, carrying a 15-match win streak into this year's edition. Now, the reason I talk about USC is USC plays Stanford in the quarterfinals here, and this is going to be good. Oh, wait. Yeah, this is going to be good because we're going to find out what's going on out there in the college tennis world. Stanford, a favorite of mine because I worked out there, but I want to wish them the best of luck. Now, let's talk about some things that have happened in the college tennis world in regards to hirings and firings and things that go on. And something I noticed as a community college coach about this time of year is you had coaches that didn't do well conference-wise at the Division I level, and maybe had not done well for a couple of years, and now the administration wanted to do better or win more or whatever it was, and so they decided to make a change. So these smaller schools start to change, and then you have a couple of bigger Division I schools that maybe didn't make the tournament, or maybe there was a coach that resigned, and there's a little bit of shuffling that goes on here, and coaches move up, move sideways, and some of them just retire, which is the case in some of these coaches here. So we'll start off with Ohio State women. They named Melissa Schaub as the coach. She spent the 2012-2013 season as an interim and was named full-time on Tuesday. The team went 10-14 and eliminated in the first round of the Big Ten tournament. She was an assistant coach in 2011 and a member of the Middle Tennessee coaching staff for 5 seasons. Schaub attended the University of Tennessee, where she was an All-American. Now, 10-14 at Ohio State doesn't really seem like that's going to be a great season, considering you have the men that are constantly doing well in the tournament. So this will be an interesting position to watch here. I don't think Ohio State is going to be satisfied with losing tennis seasons year after year after year. So I hope that Ms. Schaub has a plan to get them out of the losing end and get them to mediocre and then go from there. It's a big school. They need big tennis, and I hope Ms. Schaub can bring that to them. Another interesting thing that happened was up at Arkansas. Arkansas, University of Arkansas, has Coach Robert Cox. And Coach Cox has been there a long time. He actually moved from TJC over to University of Arkansas when he left there. And so he's been up in Arkansas doing his best, trying to win in the SEC. And he's had some success. And he's had some failures as well. But he's been a guy that has represented the University of Arkansas well through the course of the years. Trying to find the story on him. I had it, but there it is. But it didn't pull up when I needed it to. Still not pulling it up. The joy of internet news for some reason it's not coding, so let's come back to Coach Cox here in a little bit. Let's talk about Minnesota Crookston's Josh Lunak. He retired from the University of Minnesota Crookston. He was a tennis coach in July of 2007 and coached the team for six seasons. He took over as the head women's coach in July. He went winless in his first season. They won four matches in 2011. In 2012, were able to capture another conference victory. This year, they captured three singles victory, three victories. And they even swept Bemidji State, the first sweep since 2009. So he's had a tough go of it there. Can't imagine that it's real easy to recruit to Minnesota Crookston. So hats off to Mr. Josh Lunak for doing his best while he could while he was there. And we hope that he continues on with tennis and keeps putting out some good product out there. It's got to be tough to be in that position to where you're just hoping to win a single college tennis match. So just one second here. Let me see if I can pull up the article on Coach Robert Cox. Again, it's my first day back, so you have to bear with me. We've finished the half-hour mark. I don't know how long I'll go today, but I just wanted to get something on the air to let you know that I was back out here, and there was a show that was covering the American College Experience. Let's see here. Here's Coach Robert Cox. He led the program for 26 seasons, guiding the Razorbacks to 323 dual match wins. He accounts for 42% of the dual match wins in the program's history. He began in 1988, and they were 16-16 overall, and they were 0-12 in Southland Eastern Conference, and I think that that's probably what paid a lot into this. Now, he has one last thing to do, and I'm going to hope that they keep him around to do some other things. His final duties as Arkansas coach will come later in the month when he works with the doubles team of Manfred Jeske and Mike Knott at the NCAA tournament. And I know Coach Cox personally. He does a great job. He's a great coach. And, you know, maybe it's time that Arkansas did do something just a little bit different. And maybe Coach Cox can help them oversee that and move on out of there. So move them out of the bottom, that is. See, now, this is why I love doing this show and taping it. I just screwed up those brackets royally out there and realized there's a second half, so that's why I'm glad that it's my first show back and there aren't going to be many people listening to me because I'm out of practice and I don't know exactly what I'm doing to get things going here. So just bear with me, and if you're listening, have some fun with it and know that next week will be better than it was this week, and that's just the way it is. We pride ourselves on getting some good guests and giving you good information, and that's what our plan is. So I don't really have a lot else today, and like I said, I wanted to get back on air. It's been important for me. I'll finish off with letting you know that we are doing some good things here at the UR Tennis Network. We have been working behind the scenes very diligently to bring forth a great listening experience for you and your audience out there and the audience out there in regards to tennis. We hope that you'll tell your friends about us and let everybody know that we do these type of things where we come on the air every day and we talk about tennis, and we do offer you a chance as a listener to be interactive, and you can call in anytime. I didn't get out of the call number today because I didn't let anybody know I was going on air except for my mom, and I know that she'll probably listen to it, and I know she's out there somewhere, so thanks for listening in today, Mom. And, you know, I think that that's about all I'm going to do today. I'm going to come back next week, and I'm going to have a little longer show. I'm going to have a little better show. We're going to talk about the national champions, and we're going to give it another college try. So please let everybody know that the All-American Wednesdays have started here on the UR Tennis Network. We've got American Tennis with Chuck Creasy, and he happens Wednesdays at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time. Thursday's the Bruce Lipka Show. He happens 11 o'clock Central Standard Time. Friday is the Tennis Authority with Natalie Shaleen. Saturday is Infinite Tennis with Bill Patton. Sorry. And then we also have Minorities in Tennis with Alex Chan. Monday we have Parenting Aces with Lisa Stone. And Tuesday now we have the Lisa Dotson Show, and she'll be starting that very soon. So you can tell that our idea here is to give you tennis news and information and just put it out there as often as we can. And we hope that you'll keep downloading us, keep podcasting us, because we've got some very valuable information that's out there. And I just want to say thanks for tuning in today, and thanks for listening on the podcast. And go hit some tennis balls today if you can. I will be back here next Tuesday, and thank you for listening. Bye-bye.